Well, Xavier Bell, the executive director and the founder of the Family Freedom Center, is in our studios. It has been way too long.
It has been.
Since I have seen your smiling face across the desk from me this morning. So what's this micro-business program that the Family Freedom Center is doing? You've got an orientation for the Freedom Startups coming up next week.
Yes.
And according to the little blurb, it says that there's been so much interest in your micro-business program that you're having another orientation.
Yep.
What's a micro-business?
So everyone has a side hustle. So let me back up and say it's so good to see you. It's great. And thank you for the opportunity to be here.
You bet.
So everyone has a side hustle. I mean, when we live in an economy where there's a large percentage of people who are working poor, working one, two, three jobs even, and still not making it, you have to figure out how to put money on the table. And so a lot of times you'll use your creativity, insights within the family, things you might have learned from developing a lemonade stand to figuring out how to do, you know, side projects in construction. But what we've realized over probably the past 14 years prior to doing the Family Freedom Center, you know, I worked with a community action agency. And what we began to realize was that people have this natural ability to make money, but not necessarily to grow a business. Does that make sense?
Sure, you've maybe got a skill.
Yeah.
But you don't know how to, you know, budget and project and all that.
The fun stuff.
No.
It's
like the people that say, oh, you love to read, you should have a bookstore.
Right.
What do I know about managing a book?
Exactly.
I know how to sit in a chair.
And you love to read.
Yeah.
I can
sit in a chair and read, but that doesn't translate to balancing books and paying employees and, All right, I got it.
So what we decided to do as soon as we started the Family Freedom Center is start a level of inquiry, asking folks if we were to move towards helping people establish a business, should it be a brick and mortar focus or should it be micro business? Expanding the insights related to maintaining a side hustle. And so that was the feedback we got, was folks were like, how do I continue to grow? And at the same time, not have tyranny in trying to figure out the time it takes to make this stuff happen. And so I connected with a lot of folks who are smarter than me, asked a lot of questions, did a couple of pilots to figure out really if we were to do this in the Family Freedom Center, what would it look like? And then we established a partnership with an organization called Neighborhood Development Center out of the cities in D.C., and they've been doing this type of work primarily within communities of colors for over 30, 40 years. And it's place-based focus. So a Neighborhood Development Center focuses on giving organizations, partnering organizations, a capacity to develop a neighborhood conduit training process so that it'll move forward four things. One is technical assistance, so that folks who are trying to turn their hustle into a business have support from experts, folks
right.
who have done business. Second is access to capital, access to resources, but not to the point where you're having to take out a $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 loan, and really you're not ready for that. Because again, it's a microeconomy that we're trying to foster. The third, and I believe most important aspect, is what's known as an ecosystem. Having ongoing peer support so that individuals in your community, in your neighborhood, who are on that same journey, network with you so that you're not feeling alone. And you begin to see their success as your success. Does that make sense? Because we live in an economy where we're striving to be individuals. And honestly, within the cultural norms of the Black community, that's not something we believe in. A large cross-section of people of color don't believe in that. We believe primarily that the scenario takes a village. And I'm not trying to co-opt that statement as much as saying that we have resources and assets that are untapped in our community. And as a result, when we're looking to do something, we reach out to those individuals to come alongside and to be a part of our success. Because of, honestly, socioeconomic marginalization, those intersections of race. And so we ended up moving forward, this idea, this strategy. We had an orientation 2 weeks ago, and we had 15 folks that came and wanted to hear more. And then as a result of that orientation, those attendees said, we need to do this again. I have other people I'd like to invite. So we're hosting another orientation this coming Wednesday from 5 o'clock to 7:30 to give folks a broad understanding of what we're doing and where we're going and how we can support the development of their businesses in town.
That is really exciting. Because, yeah. if you are going to do like a handyman business or something, maybe you do need a small loan, I'm guessing, to like buy tools. That's what we're talking about. So we're talking about, maybe a couple hundred bucks
might do it. 500,000. I used to run a chimney sweep business. So, Mary Poppins and
Dick Van Dyke.
So Dick Van Dyke. So
did you sing and dance?
I did.
Cool.
I'm really good at it.
Yeah, I buy that. I buy that completely.
But it was out of necessity. You know, I had moved to a new community and taken a job.
Yep.
They made me an offer. When I got into the community, the organization went bankrupt. It was Parnelli Jones was the organization. I feel like I just threw them under the bus. But inevitably, it was, I moved my family from San Jose to a place called Stockton, California. And I had a buddy who had started doing chimney sweeping. So he brought me alongside. And 15 years later, I had grown this business into a sustainable source of revenue for my family and really established a name for myself. And what it taught me really quickly is it doesn't take a whole lot of startup capital. You have to align your dream and necessity with access to insight, access to, technical support. People, again, who believe in you and who want to see you successful, but can offer you tangible insights to make your hustle become a business. And so we have established this focus over the next year and really embedding this within the Family Freedom Center. And when you think of the Family Freedom Center, we do four things. Primarily, we help people start businesses. We assist families in building their self-sufficiency and leadership. We do the Family Freedom Summer, which you're very aware of. That was what brought us together.
Yeah.
And then we do cultural competency training in a process called Race Awareness Workshop, which is a social enterprise for the organization. It's a fee for service, but we provide those insights to help organizations, schools, businesses become culturally competent. That's what we do. So we're ramping up our micro business focus and partnering strategically so that we don't fall into this cultural appropriation dynamic, where because of the insights that people who are coming to the table have, they're really ingenious, they're creative, but we don't want those ideas to be co-opted before they can get off the ground, because we're dealing from a place of disparity, and we want to make sure that we have a safe place for folks to move their ideas forward. Without feeling like, oh, somebody's going to jump on this and start it before I do.
Right.
We don't want that.
Well, anytime you would go, I would imagine you'd sit in a small business workshop, there would maybe be that sense that you do want to feel like it's safe and nobody's going to take my idea and run with it, because that always happens in movies and it never works out well.
I know. Yeah, I know. It's a terrible end to
Yeah, exactly.
To the plot. Yeah.
I think, has your research shown... I think about so many things that people I know need, so many services or goods that people I know need, and yet they can't necessarily afford them from the maybe big providers that are offering them. Do you see the win-win in this situation?
Yeah, I do. That's why we have an ecosystem. So I don't believe in scarcity. I don't believe that there's not enough for all of us. Call me crazy. But I believe that is a narrative that was created and continues to be created for us to look at each other with contempt and a level of distrust. And so creating a way where people can spend time together in a shared vision, shared purpose, provides awareness around the access to resources and access to ideas that honestly we need in order to continue to live together under the clouds, under the sun. And so I feel, and I've seen over the last, my goodness, since I've been here 15 years, that Duluth is a good location for bonding capital, meaning that there are close-knit relationships here. Not necessarily bridging capital, building relationships across socioeconomic boundaries, or building relationships across racial boundaries, or, you know, it's like we're in our own tribes, and we have to be like tribes, where we're coming together, really focusing on who we are as a people, and identifying our strengths and our weaknesses, and then seeing that we can meet those challenges together. But it takes a willingness to be uncomfortable at times, to talk about hard issues, to talk about the realities that we're experiencing as a society, and then get to the point. Why are we coming together? What are we doing together? What do we want to build? And then providing a space for people to do it. I think we're strong. I think society's strong.
It sounds like there could definitely be a place, maybe a year down the road, maybe sooner than that, to try to reach out to maybe the city or some of the people on the other side of the bridge and say, hey, you know, you want to meet us? Look what we're doing over here.
As long as we have the space to build it.
Right.
So that we are not pulled into the current narrative.
Right.
Can't do that. We have to have a safe space for people to explore their power and their ability and their ingenuity. And the agendas of those who already have those positions or aspects of power aren't the same, aren't always aligned with those of the people. And so so we need to figure out what our priorities are and figure out what our needs are.
Right.
And that's that ecosystem again.
And then maybe finding people who are open.
Absolutely.
Finding people, because I think there are a lot of people with good hearts. And finding maybe those good-hearted people to try to, you know, reach hands and join in the middle and nobody's yanking anybody anyplace, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. We're dealing with the intersections of race and poverty and class, and there's been so many narratives out there to allow for us to see each other a certain way. And so we have to deconstruct that.
Yeah.
And really start to talk about our shared vision, but not dispel or put aside the experiences that people who have been marginalized or who are being victimized by those, you know, those aspects of structural racism or socioeconomic class, putting aside those realities. We can't just step over that.
Right.
That has to be a part of the narrative. And so focusing on helping people turn their hustle into a business is the intent. I'm surrounded by great people who are going to come alongside, who have come alongside to help move this forward. It's kind of like this grassroots effort that I'm really excited about because, again, we have enough resources. I mean, we want to make sure that we have the space within the process, which, by the way, is 12 weeks. There is a fee for that, but it's based upon income, and it's manageable. And at the end of the day, if you're starting a business and you're not willing to invest in yourself, then maybe you shouldn't start a business.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You might not be quite at that place yet.
Exactly. So it's like, well, let's talk about that. So we have a lot of flexibility and provide direction for folks who might see this as a challenge, but really have the aspirations to move their business forward. It's like, let's talk.
This is exciting. I am looking forward to following along with you on this journey and seeing where it goes and how it develops, because a lot of exciting energy down there. I'm looking forward to it.
It's so good seeing you.
It is good to see you too. Coffee.
Yes.
Xavier Bell, our guest in the studio this morning. He's the executive director and the founder of the Family Freedom Center. And they're helping folks get off square one with starting a micro business. And as I mentioned, that is going to be a fun project to kind of follow along and see how it goes.